Eagle and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Danny Parkins. Danny, here's what's going on, okay? Lawrence is a really good, thoughtful baseball fan, okay? I think he wants to host Hit and Run.
I feel like if I wanted to, though, I probably could.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues.
Let me think it over, will you, Charlie? I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
I mean, I have hosted Hit and Run in the past. I know that I can host it.
All right, what are you doing Sunday?
What you doing here? What I'm doing is I'm looking for a driver who can handle the scanners and a radio right now, today. You remember the drill?
Yeah, man, sure.
You cool?
Oh, man, now you know I'm cool.
One answer, yes or no, right now.
No, I'm not doing that.
I was scrubbing my gerbil that day.
It's a different level of insecurity, though, Steaks, because you know that I could host it in terms of, like, the mechanics of teasing and the ins and outs.
Yes.
But I didn't want to host it.
All due respect, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to pass.
I wanted every job in Chicago media except that one.
What are some of the other jobs you wanted? What would you move back for? Which one?
You show me a pay stub for $72,000 on it, I quit my job right now and I work for you.
Danny, the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon is coming up July 31st.
You know, between now and then, if you want to just like kind of work out those host chops, there's a Sunday morning slot that might be a good spot.
Yes, yeah, Steaks, what's Tanny's line? I got to go see a man about some videotapes.
Yeah, I got to go return some videotapes.
Yeah. You don't see a man about videotapes.
You really don't.
I have to return some videotapes.
Danny, look, I'll get back to you, but I do this little Sunday show that you never listen to and you still don't.
They say Cal Ripken's record will never be broken. I'm coming for it.
The unreachable star. One of the great moments in baseball history. All of us here in the booth. Salute the Iron Man.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Alex Kuhn is here. Cristano with another eye-opening open to the show. That man is Matt Spiegel.
How about Danny squeezing in a classic Parkins malaprop in his bi-weekly appearance? I got to go see a man about some videotapes. Nobody does that. That's not what anybody does.
It wouldn't be him if he didn't do it that way,
though. He finds a way, Lawrence. He finds a way, unlike the Cubs bullpen last night in Miami.
Yeah, we need to talk about them, and Speaks has got some thoughts about that. Also on the show today, Nico Horner's going to join us in about 10 minutes. JT Sullivan's going to be on the show at 3 o'clock. Jason Leisure is going to join us at 4. And the show met someone yesterday.
Oh, my God.
It was very random. It was very enjoyable.
It really was.
And we're going to talk about it later on in the show. And we'll just tell you that it's someone from the Chicago sports world.
Someone very, very high in the particular organization that they work in.
And when he says hi, that's what he means. Or not.
Man, that was something, though.
It was. But we'll get to that later. Last night felt bad. Like, there's a lot of good that happened inside the game, but watching the Marlins rally back and win that one in their last at bat, it was a little frustrating.
Yeah, a little bit. Jesus Sanchez with a leadoff homer and a walk-off hit. That's a pretty unique thing to happen. And the Cubs blew a save. Daniel Palencia was out there after the game. We find out why. Porter Hodge goes to the injured list, which has to be why Ryan Pressly got a high leverage look where he got a hold last night. When that was happening, I was like, oh, that's interesting. So Pressly back into the circle of trust. The circle of trust, though, evolves at the same rate in which the injuries pile up.
Yeah, you become more trusting because you have to be.
You are forced to be so.
Because you look down there and you're like, so who's left?
Yeah.
Tommy, who's left?
Yeah, who do I got?
Pressly?
Oh, man, that reminds me of a story Dempster told once about Lou Piniella. That Piniella turns around and says to Larry Rothschild, hey, Larry, again, oh God, who was it? Was it Veers? No, who was the pitcher? Damn it, I can't
remember. I don't know. Categories all of a sudden again, Lawrence, early on the show. Michael Wirtz.
It was Wirtz. That's who it was. It's who it was.
Hey, Tanner, you just won category.
Tanner, you win.
Finally.
Piniella turns around and says to Larry Rothschild, hey, Larry, get Wirtz up. And Larry goes, we traded him. We traded him yesterday. And Piniella goes, Well, get someone else up then.
Correct.
Like, it wasn't Lou's fault. It was Larry's fault.
Get someone up there that kind of resembles Michael Wirtz.
Whatever. Get another righty up there.
Whoever.
Whoever it should be.
You knew what I meant. I don't know if that guy's here or not. And honestly, I don't care.
I don't care. That tone from Pinella is unbelievable. All right.
Yes, so, he deserved to die, and yeah. I hope he burns in hell.
Get someone else up then. Okay. Like, what am I? The only person here thinking about it? All right, so here are the two moves I would make.
Okay.
If I were Craig Counsell, and I would do these right now. He's not going to do one of them, I don't think. But I would move Ben Brown to the bullpen and start Chris Flexen, because Ben Brown's got two pitches, and it is not serving him. By the time they get to the fourth and the fifth, his pitch mix is not serving him, and teams are starting to do the hokey pokey on the bases while Ben Brown is out there. And Chris Flexen is a starter. Ben Brown would give you swing and miss in the bullpen that you are desperate for right now. And I would do that move today.
You could say to him, hey, man, let her rip.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Let her rip.
I mean, he's throwing 97 as a starter. 98 as a starter.
If his start wouldn't have gone as rocky as it did last night, would you still be saying this?
I've been thinking about it for a while because of where I think he'll end up being used in a year like this. He's not going to be one of your top three, maybe not one of your top four by the time playoffs come. I think he's going to be a bullpen weapon for you, and maybe a bulk weapon out of the bullpen. But no, that's certainly part of it last night. But you look at his game log, it's been like one good, one bad, one good, one bad. And that dude, I think, could blow people away in high leverage, 7, 8, or 9, wherever you end up using him. Now without Porter Hodge, they need more swing and miss out there. So that's one thing I would do today. But I don't think Craig's going to do it, because that means fewer innings for a guy like Ben Brown, which I get in the macro completely. You know, a good arm like that, you want to get more innings out of him, which, in fact, I said in the spring about this thing.
If Shota was healthy, man.
Yep.
Then you could do this. And I think I agree with you that he's got the potential to be a weapon in their bullpen, but they need innings.
Yeah, they need innings, because they don't have starting pitcher depth at this point. And then the other thing I would do, and I bet we'll see it tonight, and Craig's been doing the thing with a closer when it comes to finishing, where he uses like whoever's available and whoever fits the matchup, and he's got the courage to do that, and good on him for that. But if he needs somebody tonight, and if he wants somebody to just give the job to, let the Brad Keller closer era begin. Let it begin.
I'm with you, Tanny.
Let it begin.
I don't forget.
That's because you guys don't like him. It's because what? Because he hit Miguel Vargas the other day? Or because he was bad with the White Sox? And because of his Tim Anderson? You got three reasons, right?
We have a lot of reasons.
You have a lot of reasons to dislike Tanny. What do you call him? Bad Keller. I get it. He was bad, but he's good now.
His name is Keller.
Thank you for that. He's a really good short reliever now. He's rearing back. He's hitting a hundo. 99 sometimes. He's been good in every situation. And he's got some red ass in him, as we know.
No, we're very aware over here.
Yeah.
We're very aware.
Let the Brad Keller closer era begin.
Let the Nico Horner segment begin. It will after a timeout. Speak One Holmes here with you on The Score.
Benning 6, second baseman number 2, Nico Horner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together, we were listening to Nico. Oh man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Take good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Here's the 1-2 line drive, leaping catch by Nico Horner. Sensational grab by Nico. Fully extended and then hit the deck. Beautiful play by Nico Horner.
Fair ball down the line. Nico into second. Swanson into score. The Cubs and on.
This is an all-time first. You and I are going to dinner 2 nights in a row at Chicago. Got the best steakhouse in Chicago. Congratulations. And are you going to let me go this second time or not?
Absolutely. Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
Go enjoy it. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys. Nico Horner.
Hang on 1 second.
After crew consultation, obstruction occurred at second base.
Nico Horner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's always fun when we get the opportunity to talk with Nico Horner. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. There is news from Nico's clubhouse, and that news is that the Cubs have activated Ian Happ from the 10-day injured list and recalled right-handed pitcher Ethan Roberts. In corresponding moves, Porter Hodge has been placed on the 15-day IL, and Moises Ballesteros has been optioned back to AAA Iowa.
Goodbye, Moises Ballesteros.
He'll be back.
We will see him soon again. Right, Nico? We'll see Moises soon again. It was fun to watch him swing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully for him, that's just a little taste of what goes on here and nothing to work on or change or just keep being himself, and he'll be right back where he needs to be.
Lawrence, I think we got a suggestion there from the umpires that we can use during our conversations with Nico. We can call obstruction on Nico if he just
does his job.
Yeah, if he just does his job, like gets his foot involved a little bit in the conversation. We have to have though a group consultation. That was new to all of us. I thought they said recalculation, but they said group consultation. So
after crew consultation, obstruction occurred at second base.
So just watch out, Nico. That could happen at any point during the interviews from here on out, okay?
Yeah. We've been told that the umpires can't both see safe and out and obstruction, so they are helping each other out on that one.
Okay, how do you feel about that particular call and the rule overall? Because I keep finding myself, I understand the concept. I understand that you don't want collisions. I get that. I also think that defenders have a right to, you know, catch the ball where it's thrown and slap down a tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the right call by the rule. Had zero impact on the safer out. I think he was probably safe anyways, but the... Yeah, the big takeaway is just like when you receive the baseball, you can't be blocking the base at all, which I know. But when a guy is sliding head first into the back of the base and the bases are a lot larger than they used to be, like there's just lots of real estate and you're letting the ball travel as much as you can. And I was not in the proper place, but I'll make adjustments.
That's a really good answer. And I appreciate your honesty on that. Did last night's game feel as wild as it looked to us that were at home watching it?
Yeah, it was an emotional game. Good, bad, everything in between. It was just like a kind of felt like three parts to that game in a way. And like, a lot of fun, exciting stuff, big plays, little moments. Obviously, you can slice and dice the last inning as much as you want, but there's so many moments in a game like that. And a lot of things we did really well, things we can do better. Obviously, stung when you're down to the last strike. So that one definitely hurts. All the losses do, but yeah.
What was the most fun last night? What was the most fun moment for you?
I mean, Miggy's bases clearing double / triples, but then it wasn't. I don't know. You know, like this, it's kind of weird play where I have to tag and Ballesteros is right on my back and then we both score and then, but then he's out. But it was also a really great moment. I don't know. Just like that was kind of captured that game in a nutshell right there, I feel like.
Yeah, so on that play, like we were talking about before the show, it looked like, to be honest, you slid head first into home plate just for fun. Is that true? Like, did you think you needed to slide? It looked like an elective choice.
I was looking at Dansby, and I could tell he had like some sort of hesitancy about what he was doing, but I didn't realize there was a runner. I had no idea there was a runner behind me. So if there's a doubt, I usually just like, so easy just to touch the plate with your hand and get in there. And so I just slid, but I had no concept of a runner behind me. And I think that's what his facial expression I was seeing was kind of reflecting, is like, he didn't want to tell me to do anything that was going to mess up the runner behind me or things like that. So yeah, that was a unique play.
Yeah. But it looked really joyful. Like when you were a kid, did you ever, when it was raining, like, you know, sneak onto a golf course and like go sliding on a fairway or that kind of thing, or like a slip and slide in the backyard? That's what it looked like at that moment.
I enjoy the head first slide for sure. It's a celebratory act sometimes. Yeah.
The celebratory act of the head first slide. It is.
What's your feeling on which one is safer?
I mean, I think sliding foot first into home plate is just really hard. Like you saw in Bally's play. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, but it's hard to touch a flat object with your foot. Like you're not sliding into anything. So I like going head first into home just because I feel like you can make sure you touch the front corner of the base every single time. and you don't have that like foot pop up or anything like that. So
Yeah. When you talk about it as a celebratory act, it reminds me of that Bears thing when they won at the end a couple years ago, and Justin Fields and the whole team.
The game against San Francisco.
Yeah, they went diving into the end zone and did a head first slide. Justin, a former ball player, must agree with you, right? There's something very freeing about it.
It feels really good. It feels good. Not so much afterwards, but definitely during it. And a little exclamation point.
Before the show, we were talking a little bit about Miguel Amaya and how Amaya, if you look at his splits, like from the second half of last season to where he is now, he's having a really great run. For you, when you see the light click on for a teammate and they go on a run like that, what's that like for you?
It's especially satisfying when the person is really easy to root for. And like Miggy's, even now that with him producing such a high level offensively, like his mood and his approach to the game is still pitcher first, you know, like his approach to the day. I feel like when he gets it to the ballpark, when he's in the middle of the game, like the emotions he wears on his sleeve is much more about like how he's approaching the staff and like his commitment there. And like when you have a catcher that does that, it sets such a great tone for the entire group. And so for him, I think getting to the big leagues fast, like he did, like he didn't play a lot in Double A and Triple A. He was at a point where his first priority was handling the staff and learning on the fly there. And then it's so impressive that he's been able to develop offensively as well.
Yeah, man, the development path is fascinating, isn't it? And it seems so different for everybody. Were you ever asked to make a big mechanical change like Matt Shaw was asked to over the last 30 games?
No, I haven't really had a lot of, honestly, offensively, the Cubs have usually been pretty hands-off with me. Obviously, there's been things they want me to improve on, and you know, we talk about that, but as far as like how to physically go about it, not so much. Obviously, there's things along the way you can improve on, but nothing where it's been like a sit down, like, hey, this needs to be different, things like that.
Yeah, because we were fascinated with the way that it apparently went down. We're like, where Matt was asked to make the leg kick a little smaller, like in batting practice and stuff like that, but he didn't even start doing it in a game until like Friday. So, and like we had thought like that he would just start doing it right away, but I guess they wanted him to just go down there and rake and still feel confident and like get all that back while he worked on it, and then do it in a game. That's an interesting thought process. Does that make sense to you, that methodology, to just let a kid be himself and hit well and then do it 18, 19 games into a minor league stint?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenging thing when you're dealing with young players with a really strong track record of success. Like, I think everything that Matty's done in his career from college to the minor leagues to spring trainings tells you a lot more about him than just the 60 at-bats he had in the big leagues. Obviously, that matters, but it's such a small sample size, and we faced some pretty special pitching in that stretch too. So, I remember Anthony Iaposi, our old hitting coach here. He was telling me about when they got Chris Bryant. Someone asked him like, "Hey, when are you going to stand him up and get him out of that crouch?" And he's like, "I'm not touching him. He's going to like, who am I to tell him what to do?" And obviously, KB is an incredible player, and I think Matty will be too. But it's just, there's been so many great players who have unorthodox movements, and you don't ever want to change somebody, but you also want to help them. And that's such a fine line. And the biggest thing, of course, is like having belief in what you do. So if the changes are something that Matty believes in and he feels like it's still him, a version of himself that he's confident in, then I'm all for it.
What's it like when a guy is sent down and then comes back to a clubhouse? How do you guys greet him? What's the mood like when he returns?
I think like when you're on the other end of it, like whether it's coming back from a rehab stint or you get called up, like kind of have this like bubbling excitement, and then you get to the locker room and got everyone's just about their, you know, daily grind and things like that. And, like, they give you the what's up and hey and check in, and you know, we've been talking to him and we're in touch, but you just get right back into the flow of things. And it was awesome to see him, big swing in that game last night, kind of overlooked moment to that ball he drove to right center was so impressive on a breaking ball away in a tough situation, and just a really, really impressive swing by him. And I was fired up. It was a ground rule double, but he would have kept going home if the if Q had waved him home. I was saying he should have just kept sending him just because he was flying.
He was flying. So I love that. You wanted Quentin Berry to just send him home, even though he knew it was ground rule, just to let Matt burn off some steam and just keep running.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. But he played a great game last night. Good defense, too. And it's one game, but it's got to feel so good. First game back, so it immediately impacts all parts of the game like that. Stolen base, too. Yeah, he did it all.
It's funny. So there he is back to the big leagues. And this is like Edvard Cabrera of the Marlins. A lot of people probably don't know him, whatever, because the Marlins have a lot of good, interesting young pitchers. But that guy, it's just, he's filthy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, really good stuff.
What is that changeup? Nico, what is that? It's like that power change thing that they throw down there. What the hell is that thing?
Yeah. You kind of don't realize the pitch type until after you've swung at it, which is a sign of a good pitch, I think. So he's got something going every direction. He threw a lot of breaking balls last night. We've kind of seen different versions of him over the years, but I thought he had pretty good stuff last night. We had really good at bats off him.
It's just like the normal standard major league pitcher is just so filthy and ridiculous to deal with.
That's something that's lost in all this when we talk about players getting called up, is the stuff in AAA is really good. You're seeing probably similar levels of velocity and maybe raw stuff, but the difference in pitching between AAA and the big leagues is such a big gap as far as game planning and execution and just consistency, and it's a completely different thing. And I think that sometimes I hear AAA and the big leagues kind of talked about as similar levels of talent, but it's not.
What's more frustrating? Is it frustrating when you don't quite know what a pitcher's got going on and maybe they make you look a little silly? Or is it more frustrating when you hit a ball hard like you did late in the game, 99 miles per hour off the bat, 29 degree launch angle? Is that more frustrating than what we would consider a bad at bat?
I mean, very different emotions. I'd obviously much rather hit a ball hard for an out. You want results, and you obviously want, for me, I haven't hit for any power this year, but it was just a swing I was really excited about, and to take a strong swing on a slow breaking pitch. And that was a ball, that it is a home run a lot of the time. It wasn't last night, but I definitely thought I had a chance off the bat. So hurt the heart a little bit, but just exciting knowing I'm going in the right direction.
How do you keep yourself from over swinging, knowing that you have connected on a lot of, and they haven't gone over the fence? How do you play that mind game with yourself to not worry about it?
I think if I was like Kyle Schwarber or something and I hadn't homered for 150 at bats or something, it'd be a little different because it's a huge part of your value. Obviously the home run is the most valuable ball in our game, and whether you do it a lot or not, the more you can do it is a better baseball player you are. That's pretty black and white. So, but for my skill set, it's not essential for being a productive player, but it does take me from being a good player to a great player. So I can still be really valuable on a day-to-day basis without homering, but a home run obviously is a game-changing play. You saw a three-run homer from Miggy last night, immediately flipped that game around. And I can do that. I haven't done it yet, but
I think you're close, Nico. I've been telling the group chat, I think you're close, and I wish I could bet it, but I feel like June is going to be a month for you.
Yeah, just keep squaring them up. I've been pulling the ball without thinking pull, which is usually a good sign for me, just being on time, and they'll come.
Well, see, that's interesting because these last, I think it's the last, 16 games, you're hitting .308. You are, and it looks like you're locked in. There was one of the games, it was the Friday game against the White Sox. You were on base five times, had three fielder's choices and the two hits. The contact is there. It seems like you're in a good spot mechanically and kind of, the way you were talking about it. Do you feel like you're in a good spot up there?
yeah, I feel like, you know, the stretches we get great results or not so much. And, you know, we've had times on here where I get good results, but I'm honest with you guys that I'm, you know, not really in the best place. But yeah, I mean, I feel solid. I feel like myself. I feel like I'm leaving almost every at bat feeling competitive, and I gave myself a good chance. And, you know, part of last year that was challenging is I felt like I didn't really seize like moments that really could swing games one way or another more than like the overall like stat line. And like a lot of guys on our team this year, we just, there's been more times this year where I felt like I've had, you know, hits that really changed the course of the direction of the game. And that's what really you feel in your heart and feel strong about.
Lawrence, I only have goofy and ridiculous stuff to ask Nico about. Do you have any other like legit smart baseball things?
Yeah.
Are we going to talk pizza or what?
That's where I'm going to go. But Lawrence has real stuff for you.
What do you think of rivalry weekend?
I mean, I think it's great. I heard some stats about viewership that were really great around baseball. And I think kind of getting back, it's a nice like bridge into summer. And I think when the game really takes off. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah, I feel like every time we play the White Sox, it's always a, you know, an exciting weekend, and seemed like around baseball it was well received.
Yeah, there was some good juice all around the league, and then Miguel Vargas got hit by Brad Keller, and we was like, oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Got a little fight,
got a little sandpaper going on there,
A little bit right there. All right, where are we on pizza design? For those who don't know, last week it was Nico's birthday, and we gave him the opportunity to design his own pizza, the Nico Horner special for Rinaldi's. Have you gotten in touch with the people at Rinaldi's, and do you have any thoughts? Has it evolved at all?
Yeah, it's evolved. I have not gotten directly in touch yet. Been talking to a lot of trusted tasters out there, and I don't want to, like, bite off the style that they have already so much, but I do really love the hot honey, so that's going to be definitely a part of it. I like pizzas a little more well done.
Me
too.
So I
probably have it a little bit on the crispier side, just in the how it's cooked, but a little crispy, you know, regular sauce, a little lighter on the cheese, extra pepperoni. If they have a spicy pepperoni, that would be great. Hot honey, and then the controversial one that probably ruffles some feathers, I really love pineapple on pizza.
After crew consultation, obstruction occurred at second base.
Tanny wants to call obstruction on you for the pineapple. But
yeah,
I got to tell you.
I love it. I love it. I love it with spice. I love it with pepperoni. The contrast is amazing. If it's not too heavy on cheese, too. I think cheese and pineapple is a little weird. I get where people come from with that. But if you go a little lighter on the cheese, I think you're in a good place. It's a pizza I would sure love to get, and hopefully there's some people out there that'd be excited about it too. So I think that's the general direction.
I think we became a team today. Nico, I have loved pineapple on pizza my entire life.
And he's been afraid to tell anyone.
No, I've talked about
this
it.
This is a safe space.
I've talked about it, and I've gotten abuse. I've gotten a lot of abuse. That's why there does need to be a collective where you come to meetings and you admit that you like it, and you just kind of deal with your issues together. So yeah, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Okay. I just, you know, it feels a little selfish if this is going to be going to a good cause, if I'm putting something on there that people hate, you know, so there's some dilemma there.
I wouldn't think too hard about that, because people will also just want to support it because your name is on it.
Yes.
And it's for a great cause. So do you, like, you should do you, and then draw people to it and say, hey, maybe what happens is that all those pineapple people that have been in the dark, been afraid to say that they like pineapple on their pizza, maybe they come forth, and you will have opened a door for them.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm hoping to hoping the proceeds go to BIG Baseball. It's a baseball academy that has a bunch of travel ball teams, but this would be more specifically for their summer camps that they run. So done some stuff with them in the past, but they've always done a great job of, you know, giving good access to baseball in the city, and hopefully that would help out.
That's excellent, and people will want to support it for that too. So they'll be like, I got to get Nico's pizza, and it's for a good cause. Okay, I'll try the pineapple.
They can take the pineapple off.
I'm with you on the flavor. And then did you ever go on a date with Bruce Levine at Chicago Cut after he gave you that?
Yeah, we're still working on logistics. You know, he's got a hot social schedule, so I got to fit in somewhere.
It's true.
But we'll figure it out. It's a popular man.
It's the truth.
For Nico, good reason. For good reason.
Thanks for joining us. Have a good night tonight against the Marlins, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Perfect, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Oh, God. He's such a good dude. You're right,
Lawrence. See me BIG baseball over on the south side?
Is that what he's talking about?
Over on, like, right by White Sox, actually. I think that's what he's talking about. Because their summer camp is coming up. Want to make sure it's the right place. Not that there's a bad, you shouldn't donate to BIG Baseball Academy on the south side.
No, that's got to be what he's talking about. That has to be what he's talking about.
Why? Well, I mean, I was wondering, maybe it's Oakland, but obviously, like, yeah, 39th and Union.
I mean, that's amazing. That's not far from me. It's not far from you. And I've got a 13-year-old who's been pitching a little bit and enjoying it. And he's got a pretty good arm. So maybe I got to get him over there. Maybe that's the spot to get him over to.
Okay.
Man, that's really cool.
Then you can connect the whole world that way.
Yeah, right?
Get our friends together. At Rinaldi's, Nico, a little baseball. He doesn't need the border of Roosevelt Road to help spread the love of baseball for people. That's beautiful.
And there's some good hardcore baseball stuff in there, too, about Matt Shaw's learning curve and what it's like to be welcomed back. Because there's Matt Shaw last night, and everybody's just like, okay, whatever. Hey, good to see you, kid. Yeah. We got a game to do. You mentioned the roster moves. Porter Hodge to the injured list. Moises Ballesteros back to AAA. Ethan Roberts called up for what, his fifth or sixth time with the Cubs, reliever with a really good slider and kind of average velocity these days. And Ian Happ is back, and we'll talk about where he hits, and we'll get a lineup at some point. I'll be shocked if he's not leading off.
Yeah, that would seem to make a lot of sense. Unfortunately, Spees, I got some bad news, too.
What happened?
George Wendt passed away.
Oh, man.
Chicago legend, DePaul legend, Second City legend.
Television legend.
Jason Sudeikis' uncle.
Yes.
Super fan.
And Norm from Cheers, one of the great sitcom characters of all time, that he played with perfect aplomb. We had him on at one of the Harry Carey roasts a couple years ago. Just a beloved guy by his generation and several Second City Chicago improv generations after him. Absolutely love George. He and Tim Kazurinsky did a bunch of theater productions in recent years up in Evanston.
Tim's still in the city.
Absolutely. And George would be back an awful lot. Yeah, that's sad news. An absolute giant in that world.
Because I think a lot of people were really hoping that last weekend, since it was the finale of SNL, with the Pope, were really hoping the super fans would pop up on SNL because of it. And, you know, obviously.
Yeah, you're down a few. Who's left? Smigel? Smigel at this point? Robert Smigel? Because it was Smigel and Farley and Wendt, right?
Yeah, man. It's sad.
Montaigne was in there a couple of times.
Montaigne a couple of times. And Joe's still out there and doing stuff. Yeah, that's tough. Cheers is so good. I mean, it absolutely holds up. If you get a chance and you're looking for, if you're like somebody who loves an old sitcom and you haven't watched all of Cheers, it's brilliant.
It's good comfort food and it's brilliant. Like that's how I would describe it. Like you can just, there's so much that's going on underneath. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
For sure. So RIP to that legend, man. It's very sad.
Yeah. It's Chicago comedy royalty.
No doubt about it. When we come back, JT O'Sullivan is going to join us. You should check out what he's doing with the quarterback school. It's really good. He's going to tell you about your quarterback next here on The Score.